He's grovelling on the road at his lover's feet, having been spurned by her. Having drank alcohol, having burned the Quran. Actually, maybe he does it, but he hasn't got as far as that yet. Anyway, we'll see. Anyway, he's not in good shape. News spread among the Christians that this sheikh had chosen their religion for love's sake. They took him to a nearby monastery where he accepted their theology. He burnt his dervish cloak and set his face against the faith and Mecca's holy place. After so many years of true belief, a young girl brought this learned sheikh to grief. He said, "This dervish has been well betrayed. The agent was mere passion for a maid. I must obey her now. What I have done is worse than any crime beneath the sun. How many leave the faith through wine? It is the mother of such evil vagaries." "What you require, whatever you required is done," he said. "What more remains? I have bound down my head in love's idolatry. I have drunk wine. May no one pass through wretchedness like mine. Love ruins one like me, and black disgrace now stares a once-loved dervish in the face. For 50 years I walked an open road, while in my heart high seas of worship flowed. Love ambushed me, and at its sudden stroke, for Christian garments I gave up my cloak. The Kaaba has become love's secret sign, and homeless love interprets the divine. Consider what for your sake I have done, then tell me, when shall we two be as one? Hope for that moment justifies my pain. Have all my troubles been endured in vain?" The girl replied, "But you are poor, and I cannot be cheaply won. The price is high. Bring gold and silver too, you innocent, that I might pity your predicament. But if you have neither, therefore go and take a beggar's alms from me. Be off, O sheikh. Be on your travels like the sun, alone. Be manly now and patient, do not groan." "A fine interpretation of your vow," the sheikh replied. "My love, look at me now. I have no one but you. Your cypress grey gate, your silver form, decide my wretched fate. Take back your cruel cabans. Each moment you confuse me by demanding something new. I have endured your absence, promptly done all you have asked. What profit have I won? Have passed beyond loss, profit, Islam, crime. For how much longer must I bide my time? Is this what we agreed? My friends have gone, despising me, and I am here alone. They follow one way, you another. I stand witless here, uncertain where to fly. I know without you heaven would be hell, but hell heaven with you, more I cannot tell." At last his protestations moved her heart. "You are too poor to pay the bridegroom's part," she said. "But be my swineherd for a year, and then we'll stay together, never fear." The sheikh did not refuse, a fractious way in stranger's love. He hurried to obey. This reverend sheikh kept swine, but who does not keep something swinish in his nature's plot? Do not imagine only he could fall, this hidden danger lurks within us all, rearing its bestial head when we begin to tread salvation's path. If you think sin has no place in your nature, you can stay content at home. You are excused the way. But if you start our journey, you will find that countless swine and idols tease the mind. Destroy these hindrances to love, or you must suffer that disgrace the sad sheikh knew. Despair unmanned his friends. They saw his plight and turned in helpless horror from the sight. The dust of grief anointed each bowed head, but no one approached the hapless man and said, "We leave for Mecca now, O weak-willed sheikh. Is there some message you would have us take? Or should we all turn Christians and embrace this faith men call a blasphemous disgrace? We get no pleasure from the thought of you left here alone. Shall we be Christians too? Or since we cannot bear your state, should we, deserting you, incontinently flee, forget that you exist and live in prayer beside this Kaaba's stone without a care?" The sheikh replied, "What grief has filled my heart? Go where you please, but quickly now depart. Only the Christian keeps my soul alive, and I shall stay with her while I survive. Though you are wise, your wisdom cannot know the wild frustrations to which lovers go. If for one moment you could share my pain, we could be old companions once again. But now go back, dear friends. If anyone asks after me, explain what I have done. Say that my eyes swim blood, that parched I wait, trapped in the gullet of a monstrous fate. Say Islam's elder has out-sinned the whole of heathen blasphemy, that self-control slipped from him when he saw the Christian's hair, that faith was conquered by insane despair. Should anyone reproach my action, say that countless others have pursued this way, this endless way, where no one is secure, where danger waits and issues are unsure. He turned from them, a swineherd sought his swine. His friends wept vehemently, their sheikh's decline seemed death to them. Sadly they journeyed home, resigning their apostate sheikh to Rome. They skulked in corners, shameful and afraid. A close companion of the sheikh had stayed in Mecca while a group had journeyed west, a man of wisdom fit for any test, who, seeing now the vacant oratory where once his friend had worshipped faithfully, asked after their lost sheikh. In tears then they described what had occurred along the way, how he had bound his fortunes to her hair and blocked the path of faith with love's despair, how curls usurped belief, and how his cloak had been consumed in passion's blackening smoke, how he had become a swineherd, how the four acts contrary to all Islamic law had been performed by him, how this great sheikh lived like a pagan for his lover's sake. Amazement seized the friend. His face grew pale. He wept and felt the heart within him fail. O criminals, he cried, O frailer than the weak women in your faith, when does a man need faithful friends but in adversity? You should be there, not prattling here to me. Is this devoted love? Shame on you all, fair weather friends who run when great men fall. He put on Christian garments, so should you. He took their faith, what else had you to do? This was no friendship to forsake your friend, to promise your support and at the end abandon him. This was sheer treachery. Friend follows friend to hell and blasphemy. When sorrows come, a man's true friends are found. In times of joy, 10,000 gather round. Our sheikh is savaged by some shark. You race to separate yourself from his disgrace. Love is built on readiness to share love's shame. Such self-regarding love usurps love's name. Repeatedly we told him, all you say, they cried, we were companions of the way. Sworn to a common happiness or grief, we should exchange the honours of belief for odium or scorn. We should have accept the Christian cult our sheikh could not reject. But he insisted that we leave. Our love seemed pointless then. He ordered us to move. At his express command we journeyed here to tell his story plainly without fear. He answered them, however hard the fight, you should have fought what was clearly right. Truth struggled there with error. When you went, you only worsened his predicament. You have abandoned him. How could you dare to enter Mecca's incorrupted air? They heard his speech, not one would raise his head, and then, there is no point in shame, he said. What's done is done, we must ask justly now. Bury this sin, seek out the sheikh, bow before him once again. They left their home, they made their way a second time to Rome. They prayed 100,000 prayers, at times with hopes, at times disheartened by their crimes. They neither ate nor slept, but kept their gaze unswerving through 40 days and nights. Their wailing lamentations filled the sky. Moving the green-robed angels ranked on high to clothe themselves with black. And in the end, the leader of the group, the sheikh's true friend, his heart consumed by sympathetic grief, let loose the well-armed arrows of belief. For 40 days and nights he prayed privately, wrapped in devotion's holy ecstasy. At dawn there came a musk-diffusing breeze, and in his heart he knew all mysteries. He saw the prophet lovely as the moon, whose face truth's shadow was the sun at noon, whose hair in two black heavy braids was curled, each hair 100 times outpriced the world. As he approached with his unruffled pace, a smile of haunting beauty lit his face. The sheikh's friend rose and said, God's messenger, vouchsafe your help. Our sheikh has wandered far. You are our guide. Guide him to truth again. The prophet answered, I have loosed the chain which bound your sheikh. Your prayer is answered. Go. Thick clouds of dust have been allowed to blow between his sight and truth. Those clouds have gone. I did not leave him to endure alone. I sprinkled on the fortunes of your sheikh a cleansing dew for intercession's sake. The dust is laid, sin disappeared before his new made vow. A world of sin, be sure, shall with contrition's spittle be made pure. The sea of unrighteousness drowns in its waves. The sins of those sincere repentant saves. With grateful happiness, the friend cried out. The heavens echoed his triumphant shout. He told the good news to the group. Again they set out eagerly across the plain. Weepingly they ran to where the swineherd shake, now cured of his unnatural mistake, has cast aside his Christian clothes, the bell, the cap, freed from the strange faith spell. Seeing his friends approach his hiding place, he saw how he had forfeited God's grace. He ripped his clothes in frenzies of distress. He grovelled in the dust with wretchedness. Tears flowed like rain. He longed for death. His sighs, great heat, consumed the curtains of the skies. Grief dried the blood within him when he saw how he had lost all knowledge of God's law. All he had once abandoned now returned, and he escaped the hell in which he'd burned. He came back to himself and on his knees wept bitterly for past iniquities. When his disciples saw him weeping there, bathed in shame's sweat, they reeled between despair and joy. Bewildered, they drew near and sighed. From gratitude, they gladly would have died. They said, "The mist has fled that hid your son. Faith has returned and blasphemy is gone. Truth has defeated Rome's idolatry. Grace has surged onward like a mighty sea. The prophet interceded for your soul. The world sends up thanks from pole to pole. Why should you mourn? You should thank God instead, that out of darkness you've been safely led. God, who can turn the night to dark, the day to darkest night, can turn black sin to pure repentant light. He kindles a repentant spark. The flame burns all our sins and all sin's burning shame." I will be brief. The sheikh was purified. According to the faith, his old self died. He put the dervish cloak on as before. The group set out for Mecca's gates once more. And then the Christian girl whom he had loved dreamed in her sleep. A shaft of sunlight moved before her eyes, and from the dazzling ray a voice said, "Rise, follow your lost sheikh's way. Accept his faith, beneath his feet be dust. You tricked him once, be pure to him and just. And as he took your path without pretense, take his path now in truth and innocence. Follow his lead, you once led him astray, be his companion as he points the way. You are a robber preying on the road, where you should seek to share the traveller's load. Wake now, emerge from superstition's night." She woke, and in her heart a steady light beat like the sun, and an unwanted pain throbbed there, a longing she could not restrain. Desire flared up in her. She felt her soul slip gently from the intellect's control, and yet she did not know what seed was sown. She had no friend and found herself alone in an uncharted world. No tongue can tell what then she saw. Her pride and triumph fell like rain from her. With an unearthly shout, she tore the garments from her back, ran out, and heaped the dust of mourning on her head. Her frame was weak, the heart within her bled, but she began the journey to her sheikh. And like a cloud that seems about to break and shed its downpour of torrential rain, the heart's rich blood, she ran across the plain. But soon the desert's endless vacancy bewildered her. Wild with uncertainty, she wept and pressed her face against the sand. "O God," she cried, "extend your saving hand to one who is an outcast of the earth, to one a saint of unmatched worth. Do not abandon me. My evil crime was perpetuated in a thoughtless time. I did not know what I know now, except the prayers of one who ignorantly slept." The sheikh's heart spoke, "The Christian is no more. The girl you loved knocks at religion's door. It is our way she follows now. Go back and be the comforter, her sorrow's luck." Like wind he rang, his disciples cry, "As your repentant vow so quickly died, will you slip back, a shameless reprobate?" But when the sheikh explained the girl's sad state, compassion moved their hearts, and they agreed to search for her and serve her every need. They found her with hair draggled in the dirt, prone on the earth as if a corpse, her skirt torn from her limbs, barefoot, her face death pale. She saw the sheikh and felt her last strength fail. She fainted at his feet, and as she slept, the sheikh hung over her dear face and wept. She woke, and seeing tears like rain in spring, knew he'd kept faith with her through everything. She knelt before him, took his hands, and said, "The shame I brought on your respected head burns me with shame. How long must I remain behind this veil of ignorance? Make plain the mysteries of Islam to me here, and I shall tread its highway without fear." The Sheikh spelt out the faith to her. The crowd of gratified disciples cried aloud, weeping to see the lovely child embrace the search for truth. But then, as her comely face bent to his words, her heart began to feel an inexpressible and troubling zeal. Slowly she felt the pall of grief descend, knowing herself still absent from the friend. "Dear Sheikh, I cannot bear such pain. Absence undoes me, and my spirits wane. I go from this unhappy world. Farewell, world Sheikh and mine. Further I cannot tell. Exhaustion weakens me. O Sheikh, forgive." And seeing this, the dear child ceased to live. The sun was hidden by a mist. Her flesh yielded the sweet soul from its weakening mesh. She was a drop returned to truth's great sea. She left this world, and so like wind must we. Well, it doesn't mean what you think it means. On the face of it, this poem is a sheikh falls in love, runs off, abandons his faith, abandons everything he knows, eventually gets spurned by his lover, having done all kinds of terrible things against the faith, becomes a Christian, eventually comes to his senses and returns to Mecca, and the wicked Christian girl sees the error of her ways and returns to the path of Islam. Islam triumphant. Islam triumphant. However, this whole story is about the deeper parts of the way. The Sheikh is a grand Sheikh of Mecca, a great Sufi, a master. But he is secure within his identity, within his separate identity, as the Sheikh, as the one who knows. In a certain sense, in terms of Kabbalistic psychology, he is secure in the Ruach, secure in Tiferet. He is the mediator, he is an adept, he is a great teacher. Very like Rumi before he encounters Shams of Tabriz. And he can go no further in that way. Christian girl he encounters is an image of the Neshama, an image of Bina. And what is necessary in his deepening of the way is that he break through the old form, he break through the image of himself as the righteous Sheikh. As the one who knows, who is the one, the separate loving mediator. All these good things, but they have become limiting kind of energies. And what we see happen in the poem is he dreams, he is troubled by dreams. He is not at peace, he is not he's not in connection with the non-dual. And he dreams that he must go to Rome. So this is the symbolic geography here is interesting. He says he is the Grand Sheikh of Mecca. He sits at the Kaaba, the place where all Muslims pray to, the place where the divine is manifest on earth. And he cannot reach that place in Mecca. But Rome is the antithesis. Rome is the place of the Christians, the place of the pagans, it's the place of the world, it's the opposite pole. So he flies to the opposite pole. He encounters a Christian girl. He falls in love. This is the image of the divine manifesting through the forbidden, through the places that he will not allow himself to go, which breaks open his heart, which takes him into new territory, takes him beyond the known, beyond his sense of control, his sense of knowing who he is and knowing how the world is. It takes him into an experience of the dark night. It takes him into Da'at, where he gets nothing. He does all these things, he's hoping for something from her. She gives him nothing. And his friends do all the kind of sensible things. Argue with him, reason with him, talk to him, kind to him, remind him who he was, remind him who he could be. Just come away from this. But he says each time, well, if I do this, I will die. I will die. And his friends eventually desert him. They come back to Mecca and they find another advanced teacher of the way who castigates them. And what he castigates them for doing is for doing the very thing they've been doing, about trying to look after him and persuade him to go back. He says, well, why did you not become a Christian for his sake? Why did you not enter into his sins? Why did you not do that with him? What kind of friends are you that you will not enter into the way with him? He is your sheikh. Enter with him into this mystery. And they do that. They go back to Rome. They go back to that. Then they join him in his apostasy. All the while, but doing it consciously, praying in it, working with it somewhere. And what happens then, the vision that then, and there's a whole play in this poem about hair, the hair of the Christian maid, the beauty of the Christian maid that entangles him. What we're then given is an image of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who is shown as this great figure of beauty with these graven locks like the girls. So we're shown through the neshama, the beauty of the image of the deeper truth, the image of the deeper presence. Now the Prophet Muhammad in this place is not the man Muhammad, but is the Logos, is the living Christ spirit, who is beauty and love and wisdom incarnate, and who takes him beyond the image of the neshama into the experience of the chia, the living life itself. And what happens in that process is he moves beyond the neshama, he moves beyond the bina. He moves into Chokmah, into the place of the Prophet. So he becomes the one who can live at the Kaaba, who becomes the living energy of change, the living energy of creation, the manifest energy that comes through the reflection of the Divine Presence. And that energy is then experienced, and we hear this through the eyes of the girl, the Neshama, as this flash of light. And she has one last lesson to teach the Sheikh. So she now moves from the place of attractive desire, the place of love, towards the station of union. Of this powerful thing where she is in the desert, where she lays her body down on the earth, presses her brow into the earth, her tresses are into the earth. She surrenders entirely. And he is called back to her again, having heard her cries. And they all assume he's lost it again. Oh my God. But what happens then is this powerful encounter between the Neshama and the Chia, which brings us into the sense of the Yahida, the place of pure union, where she vanishes into light. Now the movement, in a sense, from the very profound accomplishment of being to be established in Tiferet as a constant station, is always displayed as a breakdown, as a necessary breakdown. The power, the beauty of Tiferet is its place of balance, its place of holding things in unified opposition. But to move from the world of unified opposition, the world of creative opposites, to the non-dual world of mystery, involves the destruction of all that holds the world in unified opposition. So to enter into all of that chaos, that raw desire, that need to be beyond, to enter into shadow, to become the Christian swineherd. And we have this little disquisition about, if you want to follow the way, you have to embrace the idols, embrace the swine, find the way with them, embrace the shadow energies. And we find that the teacher of Mecca saying, your error here is you have not followed your sheikh into the desert, into the darkness, into the places of where there is no longer balance and beauty, but there is rawness and loss and shadow and fear and despair and hate and love. And the movement, in a sense, what happens is then that there is this movement, this breakthrough, this return, but that has various movements within it. The Sheikh's surrender to the Christian girl is the entrance into Bina, the doing of all acts for the sake of love. This is this quality that Bina has of the manifesting all forms and loving all manifest forms. So that place where he surrenders, where he becomes the swineherd, where he becomes the least noble, particularly remembering how pigs are regarded as dirty and unclean and vile in Islam. So he becomes this figure, this despised figure. But in that process, doing all acts for her sake, he becomes the one who embodies the non-dual love of Bina. The next step, however, is the step beyond this, which is the step into Chokmah, where we encounter the quality of the Prophet, where we encounter this energy, this purity of will, this pure light. The quality of the soul in the Kabbalah that you find in Chokmah is called Chia, which it's Ket Yod. It's linked really with the word for life itself, which was Kayim or Chia, which is Ket Yod Yod Hei. The letter Ket in Kabbalistic understanding, they sometimes say it is formed out of the coming together of the letter Vav and the letter Zain. Letter Vav is the nail that joins together. The letter Zain is the sword that divides. And they also say, if you join these together with a little thing, it is also then a marriage canopy. The letter Ket joined to the letter Yud, which is a letter of pure will, gives us the image of a will and energy that both separates and joins, that generates change. So what happens to the Sheikh is that he encounters this quality of the Prophet that is, like all prophets, the vehicle of the divine light, and is a sense of a ferment, a generative disturbance that keeps change, that changes everything around it. Mm-hmm. That sense of Christ as this continual ferment, changing people. As people touch the hem of Christ's garment, they are changed. So the particular quality that arises really as you embrace the Kiyar is this constant change by nature of your very being. You become a fermenting presence. And in this fermenting presence, in this experience of the poem, there is one final place that happens, where the Neshama, the girl, enters a deeper place even so than she has been. Her form starts to dissolve, her clothes are torn, her beauty is despoiled. She enters into pure submission, beyond love, beyond will. And he is drawn to her, drawn back to her, as she vanishes into the light, as the drop that is her returns into the sea. And he is the living witness of that moment. So in that moment, he, noticing the drop, the interplay of the drop and the sea, steps beyond even the sense of the Prophet. Into that place the Kabbalists call the Yechida, the unity of the multitude and the singularity, the sea experienced through the drop. Now this poem is given right at the beginning of the Conference of the Birds, and it's one of the things that Sufis mystics often did with their long poems. You have a shorter poem that actually summarizes and focuses the whole thing. The rest of the journey of Faridun Unatar's journey is of various birds going off into the to seek the Simurgh, to seek the divine mystery. But this is a sort of a summary, a focus point right at the beginning that speaks about these stations and stages of the way. And to go over the stages of the way, and the Kabbalah does it really in looking at these different parts of the soul. So we begin with the Nefesh, centered in the interplay of Hod, Netzach, and Yesod. The place of the known, of the patterned, of the shaped, of the automatic, of the reactivity. The place really that. So that is the place that very often this Sufi, in Sufi tradition it is called the nafs, the Hebrew nefesh, Sufi tradition the nafs. It is the known self that wants to survive at all costs. Faye, what's happening to you? It's all right, Lily. What's happening to you, Lily?